the mind's latent tendencies. Many people experience some degree of toxicity or poisonous in the mind that is harmful to their well-being. However, it is possible through Vipassana meditation to detoxify the mind, just as it is possible to detoxify the body. These mental poisons or pollutants of the mind are known in Buddhist teachings as the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance. Often they are expanded to a set of seven that includes sensual desire, aversion, wrong view, doubt, conceit, craving for existence, as well as ignorance. Then they are referred to as the latent tendencies, or in Pali, anusaya, or predispositions to negative states of mind. The latent tendencies lie dormant in the mind and are the source of one's addictions and deep clinging, holding the mind in a state of attachment and as a result to suffering. I personally became acutely aware of these hidden tendencies of the mind during a year's intensive Vipassana retreat in Burma in 1986, where in spite of sustained attentiveness and without consciously controlling or suppressing the mind, unwholesome mental material kept surfacing. For example, anger would continually flare up even though I was in silence and not relating with anyone except the teacher. Although when the mind was powerfully concentrated, these latent tendencies that had been manifesting were suppressed. But that was not the desired effect, as I was trying to pursue the direct Vipassana approach that avoids the blocking effect that comes from fixed concentration. I would say now, though, that strategically it is useful, even necessary, to use the inhibiting effect of one-pointed concentration to help pacify the mind in Vipassana meditation, as long as it doesn't interfere too much with the cathartic effect that comes with pure awareness. One needn't be afraid of any turbulence that rises in Vipassana, as it is part of the cleansing and healing process that purifies the mind and insights into the three marks of existence of change, distress, and impersonal mental processes. Now, can I ask you to do some reflection on the latent tendencies, as an understanding of them is crucial in dealing with the ongoing difficulties that plague the mind? First, there needs to be an acknowledgement of them together with the knowledge on how they are activated. Then, in intensive Vipassana practice, one undergoes a cleansing process, a purification of mind that leads to the healing and transformation that ultimately frees one from mental suffering. The anusayas are inbuilt tendencies. Babies have them at birth, so everybody has them to some degree or other. Perhaps we can say that they are karmic inheritance, somewhat like our genes. But don't suppose that the latent or underlying tendencies need to be there forever, that they are permanent, or that we are fated to their effects. Not at all, as it is a universal truth that everything changes, so we need not get stuck in conditioned patterns of the mind, as we have the potential to decondition the mind and be free. There was an American politician who won an election with the slogan, "It's the economy, stupid." We say it's the mind, stupid, as it is the mind that is the source of unnecessary suffering or stupid suffering. So we identify the mind as the source of suffering, and the root latency in the mind is the latency to ignorance. This tendency to ignorance forms the very basis for the latency to craving, which is the latent tendency to get attached to identify with things. We are constantly looking for certainty through one belief system or other, relentlessly pursuing the myth of security while not being savvy to the wisdom of insecurity. One of the deeply conditioned latent tendencies is the attachment to concepts while taking them for realities. It is the tendency to get attached to concepts per se without understanding them for what they are in themselves, as just something that somebody has thought up or that somebody might be able to imagine. There is an ingrained tendency to grasp the concepts in worldly usage, to cling to them dogmatically and identify with them. We assume that the words that we use have the reality of their own, that they are categorically true in their own right, even going to the extreme of a war of words over an idea, some ideology. As the latent tendencies lie dormant in the mind below the conscious level, the question is, what triggers them, or what causes them to surface? As far as I know, there are two ways that this happens. During the play of emotions, the mind state is coloured by the dormant or latent tendencies hidden in the mind, which tends to reinforce them, or during the process of perception, when there is thought and then conceptual proliferation. In whatever way they find expression, the latent tendencies are activated unconsciously in the mind, and that is why they are so difficult to control, even when they are continually cut down by concentration-based meditation without uprooting them. There is a verse by the Buddha in the Dhammapada that illustrates this. If its roots remain undamaged and strong, a tree, even if cut, will grow back. So too, if latent craving is not rooted out, this suffering returns again and again. A model of the mind used to explain Buddhist practice has the mind in three layers. The top is the expression level, where restraint is used to inhibit any expression of unwholesome emotions. The middle is the manifest level, where unwholesome thoughts are swirling about and are pacified or temporarily inhibited through concentration-based meditations, such as loving-kindness. While the bottom level is where latent tendencies lie, which can only be accessed through insighting into the processes of the mind itself in insight meditation. A simile used to illustrate this is that of a sleeping snake, that is, the dormant level, who, when provoked, rises up in anger, the manifest level, and then strikes, the express level. So you can see that while we use restraint to block the anger and loving-kindness meditation to change the climate of the mind, the latent tendencies remain dormant until the mind's ventilating processes during Vipassana meditation release the dormant material, and as long as one does not play back into the content of the mind when there is non-reactive awareness, then this deconditions and gradually cleanses the mind of the latent tendencies. Another possibility of accessing the latent tendencies is by intercepting them during the process of perception. But this presupposes that the practitioner can increase the perception threshold level. The perceptual thresholds are levels where subtle or fast processes can be observed. Below the threshold, the process is not observed, and above the threshold, the process is observed, which has shown to have been done during intensive Vipassana meditation, where the perceptual threshold of Vipassana meditators were increased as much as 100, 200% or more. Latent tendencies lie dormant in the mind but can become activated during the perceptual process through contact or during a sense impression at any of the six sense doors, the five senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching, or the processes of the mind itself. The process of perception is normally experienced as a conditioned sequence and functions in this way. With contact via feeling and cognition, which is a pair, comes thought, which in turn stimulates conceptual proliferation. The conceptual proliferations can in turn give rise to further concoctions and biased cognitions, which leads from the original sense data to all kinds of associations. Once this stage of conceptual proliferation is reached, the course is set. But allowing that the perceptual threshold is above the norm, one could be conscious during the stages of cognition and initial conceptual reaction with close attentiveness, and so be free of the conditioned sequence. Insight, and therefore reduced suffering, are the results of a change in perceptual thresholds that allow access to previously unconscious mental processes. These processes, though, are beyond the perceptual threshold of the normal person. The most difficult latent tendency to root out is that of sensual desire. In Buddhist practice, there needs to be at least a degree of renunciation, whether for lay people or monastics, in order to expose the latent tendencies. While this can be challenging and is not for everybody, sensual desire is best worked with within the context of the celibate life of the monk and nun. This is certainly going against the stream of worldly life. But in order to cut the roots of defilements in the mind, one needs to expose the unconscious processes of the mind and make them conscious. The way to do this is to focus the mind in a profound examination of the present moment processes of the mind, which, though not accessible to normal consciousness, becomes conscious. Unconscious processes become conscious processes. It is like switching a light on in a dark room so that which was unseen becomes seen, which is a simile used in the discourses for enlightenment. So, irrespective of which sense object is used, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, or processes of the mind itself, the object becomes a projection screen for observing the fundamental processes of consciousness, bringing about the stilling of the mind and a profound transformation of consciousness.